It's your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, and welcome to another edition of Freedom Fridays. That's right. Welcome to the Caribbean Radio Show, where we are the Knowledge Station. Today's hot and poppin' topic is exit strategy from living abroad. So if you are living in America, living in the Caribbean, or the Middle East or Japan, guess what? This is the episode that we have to secure the bag and make sure that we have a proper exit strategy. We have none other than Dr. Champagne Odom, our expert. That's right, the sister that I know who has written over 40 books before the age of 40, PhD with not an honorary doctorate. No, ma'am, she put in the time. So let us rewind. This sister is fine with giving the information to our people all around the world. I hope that you actually linked up with her Instagram page. I hope that you've been enjoying all the previous episodes because, darling, the people on the continent of Africa have tuned in. There are many, many fans from all around the world in which she has helped people to actually leave their home countries, secure employment, as well as bringing us up to date with properly aligning themselves, so financially being prepared for an exit strategy. So call your friends right now, get everyone together, because it's not just important to get the bag to secure it, but we also must do our own bit of Sankofa like Dr. Odom is teaching us. And if you're not familiar with that Ghanaian terminology, Sankofa means to turn and look back. That's right. It is time for us to turn to our wallets, our bank accounts, and look back at home and prepare ourselves for retirement or whatever the future looks for us. So, ladies and gentlemen, young boys and young girls, get ready for Dr. Champagne Odom. Good morning, Dr. Odom.
Good morning to you.
Welcome. It's always a pleasure to have you here. How's your week been?
Oh my gosh. Well, this week has been very profitable, but as you guys know, or maybe you don't know, but I'm working part-time with two universities. My first university is all online. The second one is also like offline teaching, but we have to go in once a month. So I went in on Wednesday, and then the next day I had to babysit, which was yesterday. I had to babysit in Chiba. So I only got like 3 hours of sleep on Tuesday night to go and teach in university on Wednesday. And then I had to go to babysit on Thursday. So I'm super tired. But, you know, I've been telling people about, you know, babysitting and how it's a really good gig. It's really super fast, easy money. And that babysitting gig I did yesterday actually bought my new computer, which I'm on. So I'm excited about that.
Yes. You know, Jay-Z is always telling us that we're hustlers, even a lot of rappers. And it's refreshing to see a sister who's actually putting in the work. Over here in the Middle East, I love to have my side hustles as well. And for everyone that's listening, it is refreshing to know that your salary hits the bank, goes untouched. You don't have to bother it for food, for the little things that you want to do. And if you listen to last week's show, it was an honor for Dr. Champagne just to reach back to her mom and say, "Hey, Mom, I want to just send you a little something, something." And it doesn't even touch her salary at all. These are elements. These are super blessings. And yes, you heard, a sister with a PhD is still humble enough to babysit and bring in the coins.
Yes. So, yes. And also, I blessed my mom again this week. So that happened on Monday. So she got like two blessings, I guess, in the course of this month.
What's refreshing hearing you say that is oftentimes parents have this this angle where they're wondering, I raised you, so one day you should take care of me out of obligation. But without proper financial literacy, people grow up and they have their own responsibilities and they're just not aligned. You know, we buy into whatever the American dream is, and it means to go into debt and to rely on one source of income. We know that these things are obsolete. So it's always refreshing to have you on the show reminding people as you've gone through the processes of just education and self-awareness that you've always kept multiple streams of income as the goal. And for those of you that don't know, her nieces and nephews and her family, she will get them stocks. I think that's the most adorable gift, to actually teach financial literacy and give that to the babies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just bought my niece some more Starbucks stock because I didn't know. I knew she liked McDonald's. I knew she liked Disney. But then she was like, Auntie, I like Starbucks. And I said, okay, babe. I said, do you want me to buy you some Starbucks stock? Yes, please. I said, okay. Okay, now I'm going to play. So it was so cute.
Yes, boys and girls, if you are thinking about gifts that will last, a pair of shoes might be the cutest pair of shoes. They could be so painful. But to actually take that money and invest in the Balenciaga or have a stock in Nike, when you've outgrown that pair of shoes, that stock will always be there. So we, on behalf of everybody at the Caribbean Radio Show, we really value having a sister like yourself to come and bring the knowledge to us, to remind us that, hey, we won't outgrow this money. And if you're trying to pass on a silver spoon, this is how we do it.
Mm. Yes, that's very, very true. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell us, what inspired today's topic with the exit strategy?
Well, thank you for asking. Well, to be honest, like, I've been helping this young man. I'm not going to say his name just to protect his identity, but he's a 24-year-old FBA young man living in the States. He is interested in coming to Japan, and with my help, he has secured the bag. Now, the only problem is that, you know, we have to wait for immigration to open the gates so people can come in. But as far as doing the step-by-step process, he did it. And I'm very, very proud of him. And now he's like, okay, you know, thank you, Dr. Odin. You know, so how do we retire? I said, you know what? I said, you just made me the happiest person today. I said, because that's the problem that, and I wouldn't say some people, but I think Blacks in general, and more specific Africans and even Black Americans, I'm not so sure about the Caribbeans, but I think that's a problem that we have when we go abroad. Like, especially like the Africans and the Caribbeans, I feel like they do more escapism. We do it too, but it's usually we do it in the States, and it's like maybe we're with, you know, someone that's not Black. And this is very, I'm not speaking specifically, this is very broad speaking. But when the Caribbeans and the Africans leave, I feel like it's just more of an escapism, and they're never going to go back home. Whereas all Black Americans, even myself, for the most part, we're going back home at the end of the day. So I say that to say this, is that this young Black man, he's 24, you know, he just graduated with his BA. I forget what his BA is in, but now he's going to come to Japan. And now he knows, because I've been telling him, listen, brothers, y'all can come to Japan, but you guys are not African men. African men, for the most part, got their real kids at home. African American men don't. So when our men actually have children and get married abroad, that's his real family. You know what I'm saying? But then what often happens is that the Foundation of Black American Men, they realize within maybe a month to 3 months to a year that this kid is not Black. This kid don't even speak Japanese. I mean, they speak Japanese. They don't even speak English. And what am I supposed to do now? You know, I get that question all the time. And the problem is there's nothing you can do. That's where you laid your egg. Now you have to raise the baby bird. Well, actually, the mother and her mother will raise the baby bird. So he's been asking me about that, and I just gave it to him straight. I said, listen, as a Black man, if you're okay with your legacy being Asian for the rest of your life and their life, then, I mean, that's fine. But if that's not what you want, then you have to choose a different path. In addition, he is the one who asked me about retiring in Japan. So that's where this whole thing, this whole topic came from. It came from him.
I can appreciate hearing someone who's 24 talking about retirement, because that's how we get into the cycle of debt, misinformation. You know, you talk about insurance. Oftentimes people are buying into insurance, but life always has different things that happen, that you go through stages, maybe of unemployment, unexpected things that happen. But when retirement is the focus in your early 20s, man, I applaud you for this. So talking to the audience, we got kids on here, young people who are in college now. How do they prepare for the conversation for retirement? What does that look like in your 20s? Can you take us through our 30s, and where should we be around 40s? Because it's never too late.
Yeah, I mean, I just think now that we have more, I mean, the information has always been there, but I feel like information is more readily available. So as long as they're able to start the conversation, which is how do I plan for retirement? I think that's the first step. And then we really, really, really must get a life plan in order. And the reason why I say that is because depending on what your major is, what your degree is, what your job will be, what your trade will be, and where you will live, and how you want to retire, where you want to retire, what you want to be doing when you're retiring, all those things play a part. So sometimes I feel it's a little bit difficult for young Black people because there's really no clear path for us. You know, like in Japan, you go to school for 19 years, you take the HEL examination, you pass that, you go to university, you get a job in whichever company, and you're there for the rest of your life. That's very, very straight. But I just feel like for us, it's not straight. It's not straight because our kids don't know what to do. And that kind of goes back to the civil rights generation. Because of them, we lost almost all of our industries. We had our own industries, but they decided to integrate, which destroyed our industries. So I feel like maybe it's up to us now, the people who are 40 and, you know, us. Now we have to rebuild and start over, which we can do because we're FBA. But I think, like I said, it depends on what that young person graduates in, the job he or she wants to do, where they want to retire, what they want to be doing retiring, and when they want to retire. Those are very, very key points.
Let's get into education, debt, and gender roles. Oftentimes, foundational Black Americans are thinking, I want to go off to college or pursue the military as two viable options for being foundational Black Americans. When you're taking into account along that journey, they're thinking about, hey, I want marriage, I want the mortgage, and these are the opposite of retirement. I recall that there are some people who become, you know, parents, but without a financial plan. When you become a parent, you're investing financially into this child up until the college age. So whether or not the relationship does work out or it pans into marriage, we're looking at more and more debt. When we're looking at an escape strategy, how do you compare looking back on your life and saying, I'm glad I left America to pursue those dreams come true, before I actually stepped into the limelight of, you know, securing a marriage and looking at producing children? Can you give a comparison analysis for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and once again, I have to go back to when I was a kid. When I was 2 years old, I knew two things. Number one, I was going to be an archaeologist like Indiana Jones. That's my hero. And number two, I was going to marry a Black man. I knew those two things. But I kind of knew when I was a child that I would marry later on in life because, number one, I wanted to be an archaeologist. And I knew that, you know, I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to see places. I wanted to study. I wanted to be a doctor. And there's just so many things I wanted to do personally that I probably could not have done just to keep it 100 if I had gotten married or if I had had children. And I mean, it worked out for me. You know, I'm in a wonderful relationship. We're taking stuff to the next level. It worked out for me, but I don't know. I feel like sometimes young women are pressured to get married because that's when we're the most beautiful. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it's like, how do we, you know, kind of balance everything? You know, you do have to sacrifice your career and making money if you do have kids. And the same thing for me, I had to sacrifice not getting married and having kids because I wanted to have a career and I wanted to be a doctor before I did all those things. So for me, I just feel like my life has worked out very well, because now I feel like I'm in the next stage of becoming a woman, which I don't want to say the final stage is to become, get married and become a mother. I don't want to say that, but I feel like that's just the next stage for me, because I, you know, I've done not everything, but a lot of things that I've wanted to do already, and I did that because I was not married and didn't have kids. Now, I'm not saying, young women, I'm not saying don't get married. I'm not saying that whatsoever, because that is the best time for you to pick a man. What I'm saying is that that strategy works specifically for me, but you are not me. So, you know, don't say, oh, Dr. Odin said I didn't have to get married till I was older. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm saying that's worked for me. But you have to, like I said, if you want to get a man when you're in your 20s, when you're your most beautiful, that's great. But just know the sacrifice that's, you know, that's going to happen, which means most likely you can't pursue a career and you're going to have kids to worry about. So, I mean, that's kind of it.
And these are conversations that must be had, because if you are working right now, I'm speaking to just women. Let's say you do or don't have your degree, but you found the man of your dreams. So are you able to take a maternity leave? Does he have the income that's coming in that will allow you to occupy space? Let's say that the wedding goal is not now, but the child is already on the way. What is your financial plan? And then you need to add in the word retirement with that, because based on gender, you're most likely going to have the child whether or not the relationship works out for itself. But will you have the support of your village that will help you? Will this man be around? Does he already have other children from a prior relationship? One of the most interesting things that we're looking at today is the retirement. How does this look for you when you decide, hey, when my kids are 18 years old, I'm financially prepared to co-sign their student loans, to actually see them financially through their collegiate years? All of these conversations must be had while you are invested in this so-called marriage, while you're invested in the concept of, I want to be a parent while my eggs are still young, and all of these things, because there are many examples around us of what happens when we don't have a proper plan. Mm-hmm. For gender roles for men, I can't emphasize this enough. There are men who have the convenience of just hopping from the womb to the tomb, not knocking any brother, but just the absolute independence of saying, for every woman that I sleep with and impregnate, I can go on to another woman. And just really, the ancestors used to talk about sowing your wild oats, sowing your seeds. And oftentimes, irregardless to what country you come from, a man is seen as very powerful, the opposite of a eunuch, of course, is to say that you have many, many children. Without that responsibility, putting all that burden on you, you get to be the father of many around the globe, whether they're foundational Black American women, Caribbean women, women who are from European descent. When a man can strategically find some of the brightest women to impregnate on this planet and then sit back and watch his seed grow because of the exit strategy and the responsibility that that woman has. So as we look at contemporary America, we learn something called child support. We see that the government will actually lock these men up for just leaving these children out here without financial accountability. We also look at African culture and see that although a penal system knocking guys up behind bars is obsolete for them, that when it comes down to family, men are leaving their home countries just to get the finances together for the sake of their legacy for their children. Can you speak to the differences that you've seen when it comes to retirement and exit strategy on a cultural wide thing?
Yes, absolutely, I can, because me and my man, we talk about this a lot because he's African. Now, the way he explained it to me is that, okay, your retirement plan, and this is how you explain it, is your children and a house. And I was like, how is that a retirement plan if those aren't money-making things? Those are not assets. Those are liabilities. Children are liabilities. Hell, spouses are liabilities. A house is a liability. So how is that supposed to be a retirement plan. He said, well, when you build a house, you know, it's more of like a family house. So he said it's similar to like a very, very small apartment where you'll have like maybe like a studio apartment on five, like on four sides. He said in each child will have their own, I guess, studio apartment. And then the parents have like the main, like their studio apartment too. So it's like an enclosed suite. He said, so that is how you're supposed to, that's what you should leave to your kids, which I agree. But then the question is, okay, well, first of all, who's going to keep up the land? Because I'm sure you have to pay, you know, land fees, you know, property taxes. A house, once again, is not an asset. It's a liability unless you're renting it out. So I get you want to leave a house, but how are they going to upkeep the house if there's no money coming in? He's like, yeah. And then so he talked about the house and he said the kids, that's also your retirement plan because they should take care of you. Yeah, I said, yeah, they should, but are they going to? I know in African culture they should, but you know, are they going to? It just seems like, I don't know, I don't want to say all Africans, but just this, I guess this mentality in general is that your retirement plan is a house that you build for your kids and your kids. But for me, that is not a retirement plan. Like I said, that is, those are liabilities. And for me, a retirement plan means I'm saving money right now. I'm not sending all my money back home every month to my mom, like a lot of Africans and Caribbeans as well in the States, they do that. They send a lot of money back home. There's nothing wrong with that. But, and I even said it to my man, if you are sending money home, what are you using that money for? Like, is that money being used to buy land, buy property, invest? I said, you know, what do you have to show for sending that money back home? You know, so for me, once again, retirement is me planning in the future for me to retire where I want to go. I have three places. I've already priced everything out, so I know what I need to save for. Also, retirement is also, like I said, getting ready for the kids, having, you know, college funds for them. Making sure they're in private schools, whether if it's my private international school, whether it's another one. I mean, you have to be serious about retirement. Retirement is not just taking a wet piece of paper and throwing it on the wall and hoping for the best. And I feel like a lot of Blacks in general, and Africans and the Caribbeans more specifically, are not ready for retirement. I mean, even like, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the Haitians that are in Miami, near the Cubans, how they're being gentrified, and they've been in the States like 16 years, and the most that a lot of them have is just a house. But a house is not a retirement plan. I'm like, well, damn, what have you guys have? What have you been working for? Like, I for me, I've been in Japan 10 years, right? 10 long years. No, more than 10 years. I'm sorry. 13 years and 10 months, excuse me. And if I want to retire to one of my three places, I could do that very easily, and I could become a digital nomad. If I want to retire right now, I can do that. Now, when I retire, or if I die, you know, my mom, my brother, my sister, my niece, they ain't got to work if they don't want to. So that is the retirement plan. You saving money and stashing it so that the future generations can have it and that you can have it. Retirement plan, once again, is not building a house in Africa and having children. That's not a retirement plan. Those are liabilities.
Wow. Now, looking at cultural reasons why people are prepared, this is amazing for me because coming from different cultural backgrounds and being in relationships that people have different cultural standards, can you go around the planet with your experience and give some advice to our Caribbean brothers and sisters, also to our foundational Black Americans, as well as our African audience, on what this looks like to actually have a retirement plan?
Yeah, I mean, just, and I'm going to use me specifically. Like, my retirement plan specific is to have an exit strategy where I have three places. I have the U.S., I have another place in Asia. I'm not going to say the place because I don't want people coming for me. Oh, hey, you retired. Hey, can I get on? No. So I'm not saying the second place. And number three will be in Africa. So those are the three places. That's for me specifically. So that means that, so now I'm 40. I started this plan more generally, 10 years ago when I was 13. So I've been investing in mutual funds, stocks, and pension. I've been investing into those three things. I haven't invested in real estate yet because I'm just not really in the mind space for that right now. So I just focus on stocks, and my financial advisor, he does the mutual funds, okay? So like I said, that's my retirement plan, to have a three-plan exit strategy in case I have to leave Japan. So that would be going back to the U.S. Or going to the second place in Asia and becoming a digital nomad. And then, or going to Africa. And Africa is number three. And the reason because is that, you know, I know people are like, oh, I want to go to Africa. Do you really? Do you really? Do you know how much money it would take for me to have the exact same standard of living that I'm having in Japan? And my standard of living is just the average standard of living in Japan. We're not poor. We're not rich. I mean, even the rich people who I babysit for, their house looks exactly like mine. So it's just like, for me to have even this, and this is just the bare minimum, kind of, I mean, it would take way too much money to do that in Africa. And I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'm saying if I have to go somewhere quickly, that's the last place I'm going, because I know it's going to take a lot of money to get to my standard. So did that answer your question?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I can agree with you, because Africa, when I was a kid, it was a Disney fantasy about the knight in shining armor and all those things. Once I got out of the box and actually went to the land and off, you know, it was amazing. But there are a lot of standards of living for air conditioning for myself, or blackouts, or unlimited internet access. And then the monopoly that were in, that took place on the continent. I realized that that was just not the promised land for me personally, based on the standards of living. And especially because I live in the richest country on the planet, and I look at the everyday essence of, like, wow, there's, you know, to be honest with the audience, when I was a kid, I understood that people grew up and they started paying rent. At a young age, my parents owned their home, so it wasn't in me to grow up to pay rent. And I'm over 40 now. I look back on my life and go, I've been really fortunate that I manifested this lifestyle. Whether I was living in America, my companies always provided housing. When I left America, that was always a part of the package deal for accommodations and transportation. So, you know, being very intentional with the lifestyle and the retirement that you want, of knowing that it doesn't matter if the majority of the world is living a certain way, you have the power to control your own destiny. I mean it. It's amazing for me to say I haven't spent these years renting from others and having that propriety in this lifestyle. People in this side of the world don't know what it means to pay utilities, to pay for rent. And to know that those are things that oftentimes my other brothers and sisters around the world, if you live in Ghana, you're going to rent and pay it for an entire year before you move into someone's accommodation. That's law.
Sometimes 2 years.
Yes, sometimes 2 years. Dr. Odin, you're correct. If you're living in the Americas and you've just bought into the American dream and you got out of college, now suddenly paying off student loans is fighting against paying the rent, utilities, the car note, the car insurance, and all of those things. And simply because I was the daughter of an undertaker that understood that in people's end times, a lot of their income was eaten up by way of unexpected medical things that take you out, and the fact that American government will seize everything that you have if your demise before you leave the planet ends up in a hospital, and all of that debt, they can actually seize your home and hold things from your family that, you know, so you have to have a living strategy, a retirement strategy, and a death strategy. When you hear Dr. Odin saying, if she were to leave this planet right now, she has positioned her brother, sister, and her mother that they could be able to walk away from the workforce. That is economic empowerment. That's what we have to present ourselves. If you were not born with the silver spoon, it's your turn to pass it on. With the information we have today with the digital age, to know that she can get up and be a digital nomad, Why? Because of the career choices that she makes. If she wants to sit on the island or sit up in Thailand, wherever in this world, she can still get in her sources of income. Going with the changes that are there, these things are most important. But if you're just depending upon one source of income, and if you're sitting, what my ancestors would say, robbing Peter to pay Paul, we got to have this discussion. We got to do better. I do want to say this before you jump back in. You know, we mentioned before that debt is passed on. You, a parent who built an empire but doesn't teach the legacy how to sustain that. That's the biggest trick of the government, to come in and know that you are the grower, you developed it, but without relaying that information onto the next generation, it becomes obsolete really fast, and that person, the younger generation, doesn't know how to sustain it, and the government is waiting there to seize that. So we got to just do better as a people on the planet. And yes, these are foreign concepts to many of us, but take notes from Dr. Odom. Look at other cultures who are richer and actually use them for the blueprint for your own success.
You know, what you just said about the legacy and us not knowing it, you are so right. Because right now, like, you know, me and Honey Bunny taking things to the next step, the next level. So, you know, we got to meet with lawyers and, you know, this and that. And I'm speaking very vaguely right now. And, you know, my lawyer kind of told me, you know, do you really need a prenup? And I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I need a prenup? And, you know, and even Honey Bunny's lawyer said the same thing. And I was like, are they saying this because we're young? Because they actually think we're young. Or are they saying this because we're Black? And I think it might be because we're Black. Like, oh, well, what do you need that for? But if it were their own children, you know what I'm saying? Their kid, they got their kids set up already. So it's like, anytime we try to do something focused and fine, then, oh, do you really need to do that? You know, you're my lawyer. Just get it done. So what you said about the legacy is so true. Teaching and getting stuff set up in advance is very important.
That's right. Now, guys, we're not going to let this topic go. It's going to be a multi-part series. And as we come into the end of the school year, the end of 2021, we also want to be able to offer opportunities for everyone to look on Amazon, read Dr. Champagne's books that have been put out here for years, and let's do the work. Because it's one thing for you to sit here and you to listen to our success stories or our intentions and watch us manifest. But the purpose of coming to the Caribbean Radio Show and tuning in is to make sure that we're all on plan. If there are insurance policies that you can get, honey, tap into it. If you're in a toxic relationship right now and you know that person is not going to end well, there is a particular insurance that will actually be a financial, almost like a, let me give you an example. One of my clients, she, foundational Black American, her first baby daddy is a lawyer. And she did well. Her second marriage was to someone who is from the continent of Africa. Somewhere along the line, they decided that it would be a divorce. He found someone else. So she had to play her role for her exit strategy differently. Instead of being caught up in the emotions, she decided to make sure that there was a sound financial legacy. And this woman, I won't give out a name, but I will say she is one of the two only people in all of America to own a bank. That's right. As a result of having a well-intentional exit strategy. So you ready for the secret? Story time. She reaches out to the man. She understands he's already moved on. And she just apologizes. Say, hey, come home. Once he comes home, that's when her exit strategy came into play. She made sure that the two daughters that she had by this man in the event that his businesses did not receive any income 1 month, in the event that he caught a cold and or the flu and were sick, that insurance money would kick out month to month of any monies that were missing from her daughters. She turned everything into a LLC, turned her properties into farms, which allowed for many, many assets to come into play for her to become that bank owner, so that while her soon-to-be divorced husband was yet living, she secured the bag for the children that she had with him. Whether he was sick, whether he had a medical issue, or whether or not he left the earth, it would all pay off for her daughters. So that once the paper was signed for the divorce, she had her exit strategy that protected herself and the resources she had for her children. Now, this is a story I tell you guys because when we're dealing with life and death, it's an emotional time. But when we want to have that retirement plan, we understand that it's like my father told me, Sunita, oh Queen Sunny Honey, a man's wallet is like a sweet potato pie. My response was, I want the whole pie.
With some Cool Whip.
Okay. And Daddy said, well, if you choose a man who already has other children, a former wife, you have to know that you're only attracted to someone who is responsible. So each one of those slices are already divvied out to someone else. While your greedy self wants the whole pie, just understand that that level of attraction is based on a level of responsibility. So choose well. And if you can't decide, if you're not in control of who you fall in love with, just really have your own exit strategy, your own retirement strategy, because you're well aware of the only slices of pie that are left over. And to all the other women out there, you might want a man who dresses nice, looks good. Well, if you got two eyes, he's looking good to you. He looks great to the rest of the world. So, of course, there's that slice that he has for himself, for the upkeep and the households for the children, and that former wife for her alimony, and the child support that goes beyond age 18 and takes them into their collegiate years with debt. So having all of those things, knowing that that's his wallet when you're in the mating business and you're looking at a potential future with someone, consider my sweet potato pie story. And as you level up, go without emotion. Go at it like a boss, because it's all going to affect you and your assets or your liabilities.
Wow. You know, what you said about, and this is another hustle, and shout out to Dr. Umar Johnson. He was talking about the insurance hustle. He said, listen, you know, when white people die, they have insurance policies. Their descendants get $100,000 off the bat. He said, now that's some good money. You can go to school, you can start a business, you can do anything. He said, but when blacks die, specifically in the States, he said, you know, that's debt. You know, there's no will, there's no trust. So, I mean, that those insurance policies, that's definitely a legal hustle. I'm all about insurance. For me, insurance can be what I consider a non-tangible asset, because, you know, if you die, somebody else gets it. But it's an asset nonetheless. So I encourage anybody to get a term life and policy, term life insurance policy, and also a whole life insurance policy. Whole life is when, let's say if you have a policy that's $50,000, right? You pay into it and it gets up to $50,000, right? It just depends on how fast you pay it. You can actually borrow against that if you need it. So it's like you're investing in the insurance policy, and also you can take money from it if need be. Term life just means when you die, your descendants or whomever get, you know, the money, which is great. Also, critical illness, you can take that. That means, like, if someone's, like, dying or they're in a hospital and you miss, they miss work, that you're able to get a payout from that, which, you know, a lot of people probably need right now because of COVID. So critical illness, that's one. AFLAC actually gives that, and that's in the States. And also, two more things. When you said the lady had an LLC, shout out to Rich Dad Poor Dad. And I actually have a story. Story time for me. One of my best friends is Nigerian, and he lives in the States. He's an engineer. He was saying, like, oh, my God, like, you know, is it possible to tax the rich? I said, yeah, you can tax anybody who you want. But the problem with the rich is that the rich don't own everything, but they control everything. He said, what do you mean? I said, listen, the rich are not employees, they're employers. Employers and companies do hardly ever pay taxes. They spend everything they have first, and then they're taxed on what is left over, whereas an employee is taxed before they even get their money. Another thing, employers have LLCs, as you said, which means they can put their house, their car, basically anything they want in the LLC's name, and it's the LLC who owns all the stuff, not the person. That's a hustle. Another thing, a trust fund. If you have a trust fund, you can put all your assets in the trust fund, and you don't own anything. The trust funds own it. So if you're not owning anything, most likely people cannot take it from you. So, like, once again, going back to the LLCs, shout out to Rich Dad Poor Dad. Read that book. He breaks it down. And trust funds. Those are very important tools you should use.
Yes, ma'am. I really appreciate all this information, because I know that next time we get together, we're expecting the people to be ready as we go into the month of November and December. Let's get your LLCs together. Get your insurance policies. Send in your questions so that we can be readily available to make the biggest movement that's ever been made on a global standpoint. Yes, we are from the Caribbean show. This radio show is all about knowledge, but it's not just having the information, but actually doing something with it. So we want to encourage everyone to reach out with your questions so that on next week's episode, we can do our whole level up. Tell the people, how can they find you on social media, please?
Well, the easiest way to find me is on Instagram. Like, I'm not saying that I'm not popular on YouTube, but more people watch me on Instagram, so that's cool. So it's Private Lessons with an S Japan, Private Lessons Japan. Send me a message, and if I'm not in class, I'll go ahead and hit you back. But please be very specific with your question, because if I have to keep asking you, you know, what it is you want, then I'm just not going to answer you.
That's right. And this sister is very much qualified, a global leader who's gone throughout many universities throughout this earth to give boot camps to help not just businesses, but young collegiates the opportunity to know what is available in the world. And she's offered the blueprint, not just through her books. Pick up a book. Back in the day, they said if you want to hide something from a black person, put it in a book. Well, hey, honey, the first black woman I've known who written over 40 books before the age of 40. The information is there. Knowledge is truly power. So be more self-invested. Until next time, do you have any advice that you want to leave with us as we prepare for the upcoming LLC, get our insurance together, and get our exit strategies on and popping by the end of this year? What advice do you have?
I've been listening to TBA, so that's Jason Black and Tariq Nasheed. And they said something very, very interesting. They said, not only is money, and also Dr. Boyce Watkins said the same thing, not only is money power and legacy, but also knowledge to a certain point. So myself, I've been thinking, like, you know what, if I die, I still don't have enough books written, you know. I need to, you know, get that done. I need to, you know, and more personally for my family, you know, write my journals. I need to do more videos. So I'm really thinking of doing like a self, you know, family legacy. This is Champagne's Life. You can do this A to Z. You know, if you have problems, click on this, you know, something like that. That's what I'm thinking about doing for my family. And I would suggest you guys do it as well, because as TBA said, you know, when a scholar dies, a library is burned. Yes. And, you know, libraries are huge. So if you die, your library is burnt and you can't give that knowledge to your family. Like, I love knowledge and I love money. And I think, like I said, I'm not saying money's not more important, but I think they're almost equally important. But our generation needs both.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Odin. And to everyone that's out there listening, we have our work cut out for us. So prepare yourselves for the next Freedom Friday. And until next time, do bye-bye, boo.